In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football with you until 10:35 tonight. A great chat moments ago with Braden Fehoko, the former Steelers defensive lineman, also played with the Chargers. Recently retired, and I think he has a future in this whole sports talk business. Looked like he already had the podcast set up at his house. He chatted with me for a good half hour. That is already up on our podcast page, The Fan at Night, if you want to check that out. And I believe our guy Gorgeous Charlie Borges will eventually toss that baby up on our YouTube page as well. We go back out to the fan hotline and we welcome in our guy. You recognize this guy if you watch the show on YouTube, if you listen to the show, Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Nick, I think at some point I'll reach back out to Braden. I think you, me, and Braden could, for Halloween one year, be some sort of WWE tag team or faction, I guess it would be. Perhaps the group that's going right now. What's Paul Heyman's new faction
Division
called? Yeah, I mean, you got Braun Breaker in there. People have compared my look to him. And I think you and Braden could fit right in there. I mean, Braden is a large he looks like he should go into WWE. I might ask him that, in fact, now that he's a retired NFL player. He certainly has the size and the athleticism for it. I mean, you guys might battle it out to who can be Bronson Reed.
Dude. It's like a bit when I go into the facility nowadays too, where people say I'm supposed to tsunami someone on this given night. So, it's a bit on the beat. So, we can battle it out. It's fun. This is really funny, man. We should do it at some point because, yeah, I think we could actually do it.
I mean, you and I have had those conversations, and then I knew what Braden looked like, but then we also had him on the video, and I'm like, man, we really probably, I think we could do this. I think we could do this thing. Maybe one of us would have to be Paul Heyman. I don't know. But Nick, the Steelers coming off an ugly loss and maybe one of the ugliest in Acrisure Stadium / Heinz Field history for the reasons that happened during the game. Not only was it ugly on the scoreboard and on the stat sheet, but we got fire Tomlin chants. And we got people booing Renegade. We'll start with the fire Tomlin chants. Was that something that caught you by surprise from the press box, that fans actually did it?
You know, a little bit, because I'd been sensing frustration and I could tell that it was boiling. But also, you could tell, because the Steelers led at halftime 7-3, and as they were going into the locker room, they still got booed. Like, it was kind of weird, right? And I just think, you know, when I talk with people, the Steelers fans, they're like, even the wins don't feel good. Like, it feels like you got lucky, like you stole one instead of you just beat that team. It's like weird right now, the vibe. So I was a little surprised that they went full on with it, but The frustration was there, so I can't be surprised fully. I was far more surprised about Renegade getting booed. That was fascinating to me.
I mean, it that was kind of a picture painted to how tone deaf they could really be, because we know that there have been times that when the game isn't a pretty one, they just don't play it. I think anybody in attendance would have been okay with them not playing it, because they didn't really have a time to fit it in. They were down 16 points. It felt like they were down 60 points at the stage in the game, and the screen goes black. And the moment it started to dim, you could hear the boos. And really the only people that got into it, Nick, were those people that were probably at their first Steeler game or were Bills fans, and they were all happy-go-lucky because their team was well in hand. I mean, I know that Renegade gets criticized sometimes after the fact. It doesn't bat 1,000 or anything. But, man, I actually thought it would have been one of those days where they just didn't play it at all.
You would think. And they did it after the Steelers, like, it wasn't a likely comeback attempt, but it was after that awful 4th-and-2 handoff to Kenny Gainwell. That Jonnu Smith for some reason was blocking Gregory Rousseau. And yeah, so it was really suboptimal. I thought the response to it, the Bills, I think, took 9 minutes off the clock and went like 80 yards. They got a field goal off it and just chewed clock out the rest of the game. That was the response to it. But I just have never, ever heard Renegade get booed. Even in other games when they've been down big and they have lost and they've played it, I have never heard it get booed.
I mean,
it was crazy.
It feels like the vibes have just never been lower. And the team is 6-6, and they are actually playing in what is a massive game on Sunday, and it just feels like the vibes are that of a team that would be 0-12.
It is that. And it's like, if you watch the team, what is there to hang your hat on? What does this team do well? Like, I think that's the issue, Donnie, is I can't point to you what they do well, because every other week, something that they do well, they don't do well. Well, they ran the ball really well in Chicago. This past week, they didn't do it very well. Well, the pass defense was really good against the Bengals, and then it sucked the next 2 weeks. Like, the run defense was very good in Chicago, then it wasn't good. Like, what do they do well consistently? This team doesn't hang their hat on anything. The passing offense is the only thing that's consistent, and it's consistently terrible. It's just hard to buy into this team. And then on top of that, Donnie, I mean, I don't blame people. If they win the game, and even if they win the North, I think everyone just has this, they're going to be 9-8 and get blown out by some team. Like, I think that's the vibes. And I know that I have seen this sentiment. I don't know how other people feel. I've seen some people saying, I hope they don't make the playoffs. Like, I hope they lose out, because maybe it'll finally make them have a kind of look in the mirror moment. But I don't know, man. It's bad. The vibes in Pittsburgh right now are bad. And the interesting thing about this matchup is you go to Baltimore and I think you'd find semi-similar vibes.
You absolutely do. I mean, I can confirm that. I had Rob Long, who is the morning show host for The Fan in Baltimore, on at 7:30. And he said, it's wild because neither fan base is excited about a Steelers-Ravens game. We aren't. I mean, I'm not excited as a sports talk radio host. Rob said he's not really excited as a sports talk radio host in Baltimore. He said the fan feelings toward the game are nowhere close to what a Steelers-Ravens game should be, because the teams are in really the same spot. They're 6-6. Now, the Ravens, before that loss on Thanksgiving night, they had won 5 games in a row and clawed back into the AFC North lead. But both teams are 6-6. They have a ton of flaws. Lamar Jackson clearly not healthy. They get blown out on Thanksgiving night in a standalone game. It's wild. I mean, as somebody who covers the team, Nick, but you know, before that you were a fan. You grew up in Pittsburgh. It feels like for a game of two teams that have a real shot to open up their path of winning the division on Sunday, there is zero juice to this Steelers-Ravens matchup.
Usually they're like all talking about each other.
Absolutely.
Now it's like, now it's all talking about how mad the Steelers suck, how bad the Ravens suck. And they all, that's all people are talking about in their respective markets. It's not about this rivalry. I don't think anyone cares about who takes the division lead. Like, it's crazy to me. Usually this is a high octane matchup. Even when the Steelers or the Ravens have been bad, it's always been something that these teams have gotten up for. Right? There feels like there's nothing to this game. Like, the winner of this game is more than likely going to win the AFC North. And it just, nobody cares, it feels like. Like, it's just weird, man. I mean, I'm not saying that a playoff spot is literally up in grabs this week, but it is. And I don't know. What would be the weirder thing than maybe the Steelers actually winning the division this year and this being the year to finally break the playoff drought? I think that would be somewhat funny, just from a perspective of how hopeless this fan base feels. But there's nothing to this game right now. Even nationally, no one's talking about it being Steelers-Ravens. Everyone's talking about Lamar's hurt. Is Mike Tomlin still the right man for the job? Rodgers talking about his receivers. Well, the Ravens, do they have to move on from John Harbaugh? Those are the talking points. It's not about the Steelers and the Ravens for the first, you know, for the first time this year going for the AFC North division lead. It's those storylines I just talked about.
Yeah, I mean, and I do those freak show things where Pony and I are similar, where we just watch a ton of old games back, depending on who the Steelers are playing on a given week. So, you know, we'll do that before the show. You know, if I, you know, do my walks in the morning on the treadmill, I'll pull up an old Steelers-Ravens game. We'll prop that phone up. And, you know, like today, I'm watching the game from 2010 where Haloti Ngata breaks Big Ben's nose on the first drive. And it just felt like that game was such a big deal. And it was. It was. Technically, this game should have that same feel. It's the same time of year. The two teams are right neck and neck with each other, vying for a playoff spot, and there's nothing. There's nothing. We're talking about, should Mike Tomlin be in his final days as Steelers QB? Can a 35-year-old Adam Thielen provide juice to the Steelers offense? There's nothing to this matchup. It is crazy to me.
There's nothing to it. And that, to me, the other thing on the other side is, I mean, the Ravens are talking about some crazy things. Can Lamar get back to his level? Because he's just banged up. Like today, it felt like, oh, maybe Lamar's healthy. He finally practiced on a Wednesday. He's going to talk to the media on Wednesday. And then the bombshell comes out. Oh, he had to get treatment. He's still not 100%. So what's Lamar are you really going to see? And then you kind of have to talk about the weirdness of the Ravens actually being kind of bad in the trenches. Like, when do you ever hear that? The offensive line has not been that great. The defensive line has been susceptible. The Ravens not being great up front on both sides of the ball? It's weird. Like, that's what I mean. The flip side to these matchups, you know, that we're talking about where you're talking about the Steelers stuff, the Ravens have, like, a very similar thing going on. And I think every radio host, you know, for example, you would ask, is also talking about, is John Harbaugh's time just run out there? It's crazy to have these two franchises that have been like bastions of just consistency, the model of stability, both coming to grips at the same time that maybe it's time to actually shake up the status quo.
Talking to Nick Farabaugh, our guy from PennLive.com. He covers the Steelers. Nick, we go back to the Fire Tomlin chants from Sunday. Do you think that the train is coming to the end of its ride? Do you think this season, if it goes the way a lot of us think, even if they do end up 9-8 and sneak into the playoffs, if it is the same thing yet again, do you think there could be a path to where they part ways?
I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't. I think what's going to happen is they're going to make a lot of switch-ups on the coaching staff. I don't think, like, Terrell Austin, I don't think he'll be back this year. We'll see about Arthur Smith. Mike Tomlin I think would rather not flip over both coordinator spots, but you might have to after this year, considering what has happened. I think that's going to be something to think about. But I don't think I don't think Art Rooney is going to fire Mike Tomlin. You know, and I don't think Mike T wants to walk away. I don't think there's any indication I've gotten that Mike Tomlin is ready to step away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he's still got 2 years left on his contract after this year. I think the entire long-term plan this offseason was for Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan to go on a big scouting spree across the nation looking at quarterbacks in the 2026 NFL draft. If you don't think he's getting excited about that opportunity to maybe find his quarterback again, I think people are nuts. I think he's going to want to do that. I don't really see that happening. And I think Art Rooney also wants to give Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan a chance to find a quarterback. So, well, I think, you know, Donnie, you and I can sit here and easily say that this has run its course, and I think it has. And, you know, the Steelers should hit the reset button and try and find someone new. And Mike Tomlin will probably go coach somewhere else and I think would find success somewhere else. I also think that there was a preset plan before this year, and they are not going to divert from it just because some people are chanting fire Tomlin. I really truly believe that. I don't think that it's going to rattle the cage of the organization or Mike Tomlin himself enough.
I've had a theory for a bit here, Nick, and I may have even shared it with you a time or two before, but it was a question that people at the, you know, at the dinner table on Thanksgiving would bring up to me. It's a conversation that I've had with buddies, you know, after every game. And it is the question about Art Rooney and firing Mike Tomlin. And we all know it will never actually happen. I have a thought that, and you can tell me if I'm way off base here, because I think the assumption is, well, he's afraid to fire him because they made the Rooney rule and that would look bad and he doesn't want to have to answer for that. And, you know, maybe there's some, you know, part of that that's true. I also get the feel that because Dan had a ton of the say in the last three coach hirings, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, he hit on all three, home runs on all three. Say whatever you want about Mike Tomlin lately, but it was a hit of a coaching hire. There's no doubt about it. The guy has won a Super Bowl. He's been back to another. He has gotten to an AFC championship game in the last decade. They've gone through a bad drought, but it was a hit of a hire. I get the feel that is Art the second afraid of what that coaching search could be like? And is he a little bit scared that he would miss on the next?
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coach.
I mean, listen, I don't know what Art Rooney's mindset of that is. I think the other thing is Art Rooney did have a significant say in hiring Mike Tomlin. I mean, Dan Rooney at that time had taken a bit of a step back from the org, and Art had kind of stepped forward as a more prominent figure. So I don't want to take all credit away from Art Rooney there, because I think he was part of the reason they hired Mike Tomlin. But I do think to a degree there might be some trepidation there. But I'm not even sure it's that, Donnie. I just think he just truly believes Mike Tomlin's the right guy for the job. Like, I truly believe that. And so you don't extend Mike, you know, last year if you don't believe that. Like, they extended him 3 more seasons. He's here through 2027. You don't extend him if you don't believe he's the right guy for the job. Now, he has to prove he is. And I don't, as we've talked about, Donnie, I think you and I can sit here right now and say these sides need fresh starts, different things need to happen. But yeah, I mean, I think the Steelers stepping into a new age is a little scary for this organization if they did move on from Mike T. But do you want, you know, Art Rooney at the helm of that, or does Art maybe want to wait until he steps back and lets the new voices kind of come in and put their stamp on it, I think is going to be a big question.
Nick, how about some of these moves that they've made in the last 24-plus hours? They cut ties with Darius Slay. He is now the second defensive back that they signed this offseason that they have granted a release. How similar or different was his situation to Juan Thornhill? I mean, two guys that come in here a little bit outspoken, especially in Thornhill's case. He had the classic line about the Steelers' defense being one of the best in history, which has blown up in his face to a hilarious degree. And then Darius Slay, I mean, they were playing with fire a little bit, Nick, and I called it a Pirates-esque signing because it was signing a guy who certainly had good football on his resume, but he was in his mid-30s, and you had to be aware that it could come to an end in a screeching halt fashion, and that's what happened.
Well, they are similar because both of them, I think, are no longer here because they were not very good at football this year. And I really think that's as simple as it gets. I mean, the Steelers have cycled through so many different answers at safety. Ramsey, Duggar, Peppers, Clark, Thornhill, Elliott. Like, it's been a lot of different players in there at safety. At corner, it hasn't been that much different. You know, you had Slay, you had Echols in the slot. Ramsey was out there at one point. Porter's been the only constant of that group. And so it's been, you know, James Pierre, now Asante Samuel's coming up. Like, there's just a lot of different things. They don't have any stability in that secondary. And so those guys aren't here anymore because they didn't play good football. They whiffed on a lot of these offseason moves, Donnie. It's not just the secondary. You know, it's not just Juan Thornhill. It's not just Darius Slay. Like, you really got to look at some of these moves. I mean, if the U.S. Steelers right now, do you think they do the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade? I don't think they do. I think they would keep Minkah, who's playing good football, by the way, in Miami. Yep. Do they do the DK Metcalf trade and trade Pickens for a third? I think that's a fair question. Like, there's a lot of moves. Do they draft Caleb Johnson in the third round? Like, I mean, that's something. Do they sign Aaron Rodgers still? Like, there's so many different questions. This offseason was a weird one because it had brand name value. You talk about Darius Slay as one of those, Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, Aaron Rodgers. It had a bunch of flashy names on it, Donnie. And it gave this weird illusion to people that they were all in. Meanwhile, when you kind of stuck below the surface, they were hoarding compensatory picks. They were kind of doing these 1-year to 2-year deals that are easy to get out of. and they were locking up core guys. Like, they viewed, I think, Watt as a core guy. That contract might not age well, but that's what they thought. DK Metcalf was a core guy. Jaylen Warren, a core guy. Deshaun Elliott, a core guy. So they had this weird thing where they were loading up 1 year for a playoff win. Not for a Super Bowl title, for a playoff win. And so it was a short-sighted thing to try and pluck this stuff together instead of just kind of maybe accepting that, hey, this year has to be a year where we just find out about the young guys, right? You play Roman Wilson. You really expose the young corners. And maybe, you know, Corey Trice, for example, obviously the injuries popped up there. But you just expose young guys more and more and find out what you have. And the Steelers instead just signed a bunch of old guys, and it's kind of just blown up in their face.
Yeah, I mean, they collected football cards. And I was one of those people that thought, like, man, they're kind of making moves like they want to really get something done. Like, they do want to be all in, but they just picked, you know, the guys that were old but had really good resumes. And like you said, it blew up on them. Like, I listed off some recent bad free agent signings that they've had. Slay, Thornhill, Chuck Clark, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Cam Sutton's reunion last year, a disaster. Patrick Peterson, who's a Hall of Famer, but that was not good. Mitch Trubisky, Gunnar Olszewski, Mason Cole, Nate Herbig. And here's the thing. I didn't even name all of them. I didn't have to cherry pick. And I only went back 3 years. This wasn't like me going back 10 or 15 or 20 years and just picking out the bad ones. This is very recent. The last 3 years, and these are some of the guys they signed. I mean, it is a way, way bigger miss than hit rate.
It is. And even as we kind of talked about this year, I think some of the other moves, I mean, you know, kind of that they made this year. I mean, it's the Patrick Queen signing aging very well. Malik Harrison, is that aging very well? Things like that. Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, I mean, that's not going to age well. Like, these moves are not going to age well. And I think it kind of sucks because I actually think there's some players underneath the big marquee names that are actually kind of playing well, and they got some value out of them. I mean, the Deshaun Elliott deal looks phenomenal. Yes. Brandon Echols has been a phenomenal signing. He really has. Brandon Echols is a starting corner, and they have him for 2 years, $6 million.
Gainwell, a good one.
Right. Gainwell, a great signing. Skowronek, just signing him after he was cut off the heap and turning him into a legitimate player. They've developed James Pierre for the last half decade, and now he looks like a legitimate starting cornerback. That's good ball. Derek Harmon's played pretty well as a first-round pick. Some of the other later-round picks haven't been as sterling, but Derek Harmon certainly looks good. The offensive line has kind of taken the steps you've wanted them to. It's not been perfect because they're young, but Fautanu, McCormick, Frazier, those three look very good. Broderick Jones played the best stretch of football of his career before he's out for the season. Like, Keanu Benton's been as productive of a passer as he's ever been in his career. Nick Herbig looks great. Like, Peyton Wilson, I think, has had his moments of down ball, but I think recently has been good. Like, there's young players. Darnell Washington, Jaylen Warren's emerged as a lead back. Like, there are positives. Roman Wilson is, when you look at the film, is a guy that looks like he can legitimately be a viable piece in an offense. Is a wide receiver too? No, but he certainly looks like someone that can do more than what he's doing right now. Like, there are positive things on this roster, but when you swing and miss at the big moves, when you don't maximize those talents you have, I just think about, you know, okay, George Pickens, Kevin Dotson, Robert Spillane, guys that have left. I'll just throw out a name for you right now. If you think Keanu Benton left today and signed with the San Francisco 49ers, do you think he wouldn't look like one of the more underrated gems of a signing period, for example? I mean, he would look great in those schemes. There's useful players on this roster that I just don't feel like the Steelers maximize.
And I think one of the ones that you could use as an example is Pat Freiermuth. What is going on here? A guy that you actually gave some money to on offense, and now people jump down the dude's throat because he doesn't produce, but they don't throw the guy the ball. They don't put him on the field. Like, he doesn't get an opportunity. His reception to target ratio is actually pretty good. Since that game in Cincinnati, where he had 5 for 111 and 2 touchdowns, he has a couple of touchdowns mixed in. He has not eclipsed 3 receptions. He has not eclipsed 4 targets, and he has not eclipsed 33 yards. What is happening here? He didn't get targeted in the game against Buffalo.
I don't know. He played 17 snaps. 3 of those were on that garbage time drive. He was in with the backups of the backups in that drive. I don't get it. What I continue to ask this question. It's no disrespect to the man. What does Jonnu Smith do better than Pat Freiburg? Can anyone answer that? Like, what does he do better? He doesn't run routes better. He doesn't have better hands. He doesn't have better chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. And he certainly doesn't block better. On the limited tape we've seen this year, Freiermuth, I see a lot of people say, Freiermuth is just so slow and doesn't get open. And then you watch the film of his limited snaps, and he's open. And he's boxing guys out. He creates windows. They don't run Freiermuth on choice routes ever. That used to be an easy button item for them. When he is allowed to run choice routes this year, he's eaten. This is a good player. If Pat Freiermuth left the Steelers today and went to another team, we are talking about a legitimately productive flex tight end. He is a solid player. He's their second best pass catcher, and they're utilizing him like he's their eighth. It's ridiculous. Jonnu Smith, I just don't understand the fascination with. I don't. What does he bring to the offense that Freiermuth can't and can't add more onto? Darnell Washington, I understand. He is a unicorn of a player. Yep. I think he's phenomenal. Why is Pat Freiermuth not accentuated in this offense? And that, to me, is sometimes the bigger kind of a factor, Donnie, is we see the Steelers not even hitting the layups. This is something that I think a lot of other cities don't talk about. We don't talk about why the best running back on the team doesn't get utilized in the biggest crunch time moments. We talk about that here. We talk about why the second best tight end and the best receiving tight end on the team doesn't play as much. We talk about why the obvious 3-tech, 1-tech pass rushing defensive tackle is siloed as a nose tackle. We talk about why the best pass rushing edge rusher can't play more than 40% of the snaps. This is the biggest thing about this coaching staff. They don't even get the layups right. And that's the most frustrating thing to me, Donnie, is Freiermuth is just a microcosm of that. But this team doesn't even scout their own personnel correctly and put them into the right spot. So from a team-building perspective, if you are Andy Weidel and Omar Khan, theoretically, you can make a bunch of great signings and have a lot of chess pieces that would fit together. They aren't being utilized correctly. So it's just – it's mind-numbing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Pat's case, you know, I mean, he's a hell of a guy. I wouldn't want him to leave Pittsburgh. But to see him flourish individually, I would love to see him go somewhere else that has a more modern offense, because like you said, I think he could absolutely – be used well. Speaking of football cards, Nick, they went ahead and signed another one yesterday, right after getting rid of 34-year-old Darius Slay. Here comes 35-year-old Adam Thielen. And credit to Seth Rohrabaugh from the Trib, the Penguins writer. He nailed this the other day. He said Mike Tomlin will say some goofy line in his press conference, and then hours later they will sign a Pro Bowler from 2018, and sure enough, hello 2018 Pro Bowler Adam Thielen, who had 113 for 1373 and 9 touchdowns that year. Now listen, he played good football really even last year through 10 games with Carolina, but he's got 8 catches for 69 yards this year. Is this guy at 35 years old going to be their temporary answer, Nick, to the wide receiver 2 question?
Good.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Didn't practice today. I'll say that. He actually looked way quicker than I thought he would be. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting to see what I saw out of Robert Woods, which was a guy that looked thoroughly washed. And then I saw Adam Thielen, and I'm like, it's actually not like that bad. So I don't know. In terms of his usage, I think he probably will get a good deal of playing time. I don't know if right away, like I don't know if he's going to instantly be the wide receiver 2 this week, but I think they're probably going to give him snaps. I still think you're probably going to see a lot of Roman Wilson. I think the Steelers just want to play Roman Wilson, continue to see his growth, see what pops there. They kind of got to figure out what they have in him. And he's continuing to play more and more. So I think that'll be something they look at. But I think Thielen can bring two things. A sure-handed guy that can win underneath, which I think is something that they could utilize just because obviously the Steelers don't throw the ball down the field at all. It's not even something they're interested in. So they need guys that win underneath. So I think Thielen can do that. Second, I think he's a bigger-bodied guy that can bring some blocking in some of their different packages, especially the Skowronek packages where maybe you can bring Thielen on instead and you don't have to kind of tell the defense you're running the football. So it can maybe make your play action a little more efficient. So there's like some things I can get behind with Adam Thielen. I also just think to a degree, you know, he did have a phenomenal run last year at the end of that season with Bryce Young. I think there's something more than like 8 for 69 left in Thielen. I don't think he's that bad right now. Is this like the wide receiver 2 fix that you've been asking for? Absolutely not. But there's things they can do with him, and I do think he ends up playing a good deal down the stretch.
Nick, Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. kick in Baltimore. Who goes to 7-6? Steelers and Ravens. Who is leading the AFC North untied and unwavered by 4 p.m. on Sunday?
I mean, are you picking the Steelers? I don't know how anyone can. I will say, and I've said this before this week, this is the exact type of game that Mike Tomlin pulls out of his hat. Like, I feel like when you think about it, everyone's doubting him. Now they're chanting for the guy to be fired. Everyone thinks the season's over. Back against the wall, heavy road underdogs, huge game. In the past, this is the type of football game Mike Tomlin goes in and steals. It is. I'm not going to lie. But the way they look right now, I mean, I can't pick them to win. I just can't. The run defense was a mess. I don't know. The run defense might be good this week, and then Lamar Jackson might just throw all over them. We've seen that happen. We've seen the inverse happen. Is the running game going to be going well offensively? They can run on this Baltimore Ravens defense. Like, there's opportunities. They can do it. But they can't pass the ball at all. This is the worst passing offense in football right now. You know, really over the past month, they've been the worst passing offense in football. They need to have some coherent passing attack just to at least open up the run game. So even though the Ravens look bad and Lamar looks like a shell of himself, there's just more high-end talent offensively there where you feel like they'll be able to crack through a little more than the Steelers at this point, maybe make a big play defensively. I'm going with Baltimore in this one. I think you kind of have to. Because for me, with the Steelers, it's going to be I'll have to believe it to see it. I just have to. They've looked terrible, really, over the last month.
Nick Farabaugh, check out his stuff. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, great chat, man. Let's do it again soon. Appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, man.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.